All right, if you have your Bibles, I would love you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, okay? We're gonna be there in just a minute. As you turn there, I wanna greet and welcome everyone watching online. Guys from all over the world, we just wanna say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for taking the time to join us today and be a part of this. I've been praying for you. I believe God has a word for you. I also believe God has a word for all of us today as well, amen? All right, I need a big amen, amen? It's a little rainy outside, a little cold, a little different for Memorial Day weekend, so we need to have a little energy. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, it's okay to get a little rowdy in church. And if it's your spouse, go ahead and just kind of raise your eyebrows at them too, right? It's okay to be a little rowdy in church. We are going to start a new sermon series today called Living by Faith. I'm so excited about this series because as I was preparing some of these messages, I had this thought and I really feel like it was a challenge from the Lord. And what he challenged me, he goes, Micah, I want you to think of one story in the Old or New Testament where faith is not one of the central themes in the story. And I thought, I'm like, man, I could not find a story where it was either not highlighting someone's tremendous faith or maybe it was highlighting someone's lack of faith. But this is what Hebrews 11 chapter verse 6 says, it is impossible. Everyone say impossible. It is impossible to please God without faith. Woo, let's just think about that for a second. It is impossible to please God without faith. I want you to think of an impossible situation right now, just in your life. Or if you want to, think about a hypothetical impossible situation. Luke, if I grabbed you and I said, hey, I need you to go outside and I need you to use your superpowers. I want you to fly to the steeple of the church and to change a light bulb, clean some stuff up there. And if I was really asking you to do it, would you just, you're like, man, that's kind of impossible. Like, I can't do that. I physically can't fly. That's my superpower, by the way. You know, the question, what's your superpower? I would want to fly. But if I ask Luke to go do that, he's thinking, that's unthinkable. It's unimaginable. It's impossible. Well, the writer of Hebrews is saying the exact same thing. He goes, as followers of Christ, it's unthinkable. It's unimaginable. It's impossible to think that we can please God without faith. And what that tells us is that faith is not optional. It's essential. And that's the title of today's message today. Faith, it's not optional. It's absolutely essential. Speaking of optional, it reminded me of this true story. A long time ago, I think it was about 23 years now, I went through driver's ed. Who remembers driver's ed, right? And so I was taking it with a friend, and I remember it was the day we drove on the highway for the first time. And so he went first, but when they came back with the instructor, I could tell they were not very happy with each other. They got out of the car and they went opposite directions. I was like, oh man, like what happened? So I went over to my friend. I'm like, man, like what happened? What's going on? He goes, well, everything was going good. You know, we were on the highway and I was going like 75 miles an hour. You know, it's the speed limit. I'm like, yeah. And then the instructor told me to take one of those big roundabouts and turn around and head back towards the city. And I was like, okay, yeah, well, what happened? He goes, well, you know, those speed limit signs that are yellow on those curves. I'm like, yeah. And he goes, well, my dad always said those were optional. If you've ever tried to take one of those curves in a normal car going 75 miles an hour, you would realize it's not optional. It's absolutely essential, right? So no wonder they had a little bit of conflict in that moment. But that's the idea. It's impossible to please God without faith. Why? It's going to leave you wrecked if you don't. It's not optional. It's absolutely essential. But then here's the problem. If that's true, and I believe with all my heart that it is, let me ask you a question. Why do we always try to live a life of faith with as little faith as possible? Think about it. Just think about it in your own life, or maybe it's just me. I may not say it out loud, but I might think in my brain, you keep your faith, I like my predictability. My wife knows this about myself. I will set my alarm and I will go to bed at the exact same time, wake up at the exact same time in the morning because I just like the predictability about it. I like to know what's happening the next day. Even if I don't have to get up, I'll just do that. And I'd like to know, to think what, you know, what's gonna happen next week or a month or a year from now. The fact is we don't. We constantly live a life that we go, oh, I don't know if I really want to live by faith every single day, but we have to. Why? Because it's impossible to please God without faith. So where's your faith today? I just want you to think, where is your faith today? Maybe, you know, some good questions to ask is, has the Lord ever asked you just to go pray for someone before? He has for me. And you know, there's times I have the faith I can go do it. Other times I think, man, what if I don't have the words? I don't know this person. What if they think I'm just crazy and I talk myself out of it? Maybe I'm lacking just a little bit of faith. Maybe God is calling you to go back to school and get a degree in something. And you're thinking, I don't have the time. I don't have the money. That's crazy. Why would I ever do that? Can I just encourage you guys with something? A couple years ago, a guy in this very church came to Pastor Thomas and I and said, I feel like the Lord is calling me to go back to school. And it's interesting because he was already a successful businessman, you know, accomplished the American dream, all those things. He goes, but I feel like the Lord wants me to go back to school and maybe get into ministry. I don't know. And we just confirmed that in his life. And we said, go do it. God provided the resources. God provided the time. And he just graduated just a few weeks ago. Can we just give it that praise report right then and there? But I remember 3 years ago, he came to us and he's like, man, this is going to take a lot of faith. God wants to increase your faith today. Maybe God's called you to start a new business or start a new career and you think, I could never do that. I like the predictability of the job I am now. It's a 9 to 5 and I feel good and I just know how my future is gonna look like. If you've ever thought that, maybe you're lacking a little faith. Maybe God's called you to give above and beyond the tithe to Project 320 or some other kingdom endeavor, but you think, if I give above and beyond the tithe, if I give that much, what if I don't have enough left over? I'll be real, I've thought that before, but if we've ever thought that way, maybe we're lacking a little faith. I'll give you the definition of faith in here in just a moment, but this is just something that I want to put out here right at the beginning. If it's impossible to please God without faith, this is something I know to be true. There is always gonna be an enemy out there who's gonna try to rob and steal our faith. You guys know we have an enemy, right? Satan, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. I think he's looking for people of faith because he knows if he can get to our faith, if he can get to that fundamental thing of being a Christ follower, it will be impossible for us to please God. It will be impossible to accomplish the things that God has called to accomplish. So we have to guard our faith. The enemy is so tricky. He uses emotions all the time to try to really just rob us of stepping out in faith, right? Worry, fear, anxiety. I mean, just constantly just bombards us on a daily life. Or maybe I'm just talking to myself here, right? But I could always find something to worry about. I don't know about you. It reminded me of a story that I heard of a young accountant who graduated college. And again, congratulations to all you graduates out there. But he just graduated his degree. He was ready to start his career. And so back then you would go to a paper and he went to the help wanted section and he's looking for jobs. And he sees this post that says, help wanted accountant for small business. He goes, hey, that's right up my alley. So he calls, he gets an interview. And he's just hitting it off with the business owner really well, right? And they're having a great time. And not very long, the business owner says, hey, I really like you. You're a great guy. I would like to offer you this position. And the young accountant goes, wow, that's amazing. I'm honored. But just curious, I am wondering what would be my main role and responsibility here. And the business owner said, hey, that's a great question. You see, I deal with a lot of fear, worry, and anxiety. So what I want you to do, I want you to take care of all my money problems. I don't want to worry about money anymore. I don't even want to think about it. I want you to take all that on. The accountant said, wow, man, that's a pretty big responsibility. How much would you pay me if I take this job? And the accountant said, I will pay you $250,000 a year if you take this job. And the accountant said, wow, how could such a small business afford such a great sum? And the business owner said, well, that, good sir, is the first thing I want you to worry about. There's always something we can worry about. I don't care how good life is going, how bad you might think it's going. There's always something that we can worry about, isn't there? So today we're gonna look at a couple pitfalls, a few places where if we start focusing our attention in the wrong places, we can lose our faith. But I also wanna give you a couple steps on how we can grow our faith. And this is just the word that I felt like the Lord shared with me for you guys today. He wants to challenge us. If you feel challenged today, guess what? I've been feeling challenged all week. My wife will attest to that. Just on, if we wanna live a life of faith, that requires me to step out in faith in a few areas, right? See, he wants to challenge us, but he also wants to equip us. He wants to give us the directions. He's not trying to hide his will from us. He wants to give us the steps on how to please him through faith. And then ultimately, he wants to encourage us that living a life of faith is truly possible. So if there's moments, and maybe you're already feeling it now, like, I don't really want to talk about living by faith. I don't want to take those steps. This is maybe uncomfortable. God is telling you the life of faith in Jesus Christ is possible today for those who believe. Amen. Amen. So we're going to dive in today's message, but before we do that, let's just pray. Would you just bow your heads and turn our hearts to the Lord? Father, we thank you. Thank you for everything you're doing in this church, everything you're doing in our lives. I pray right now that Holy Spirit, you would be here. You would speak to us, God, that you would minister to us, and that as a church, we would truly be known as a people of faith to our friends, our family members, to this nation, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. All right, I want to give you a definition of faith. We're going to be talking a lot about this, so I want you guys to get a good biblical definition. It's found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and it says this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Now, I want us to break that apart a little bit. It says, faith is the evidence of things not seen, but faith is the substance hoped for. So we see right off the bat, we see this relationship between faith and hope. We're gonna talk about hope here in a moment. But when I read that, I saw that word substance, and that word really stuck out to me, because most of the time we only hear that like, oh, hey, there was a foreign substance in my water or my food or something. What does this word actually mean though? And this is the Greek word, and it means to be steadfast, foundational, resolute, complete trust and assurance. So if I was going to read that definition again with that understanding, it would say this. Now, faith is the steadfast, foundational, resolute, complete trust and assurance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things unseen. Does that change our perspective a little bit? What this is telling us is this is foundational. It's essential. This is not just like, oh yeah, I believe in God. I have faith. I'm a Christian. No, this is resolute. It's fundamental. We have to have it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things unseen. So what is he talking about hope here? Can I just ask you a question? What are you hoping for in your life right now? Just think about it in your own life. What are you hoping for? What are you hoping for in your marriage? What are you hoping for in your family, in your place of business, in your career? And here's why this question is important, because if you show me what kind of hope you have in your life, I'll tell you what kind of faith you're trying to activate. You guys following me? If you are believing for piddly little things to happen, then we're believing in a piddly little faith, because faith is a substance of things hoped for. And I just want to challenge us. I want to encourage us. God wants to increase our faith today. You know, often Pastor Thomas, at the beginning of the year, he talks about this rubber band example, and he comes to all of us who lead departments, and we set goals, and pretty much we just ask the staff, hey, what are you hoping for? What are you hoping to accomplish? What are you trying to accomplish this year? And whether that's in young adults ministry, worship, kids ministry, and you know, they could tell us, well, I'm hoping for, and they could share really big dreams. What we say is like, come on, let's stretch the rubber band a little bit. You know, you can stretch the rubber band a little bit too much sometimes. If I came up here and said, hey, Project 320, $211,000, that's great, but God spoke, and I believe we're gonna raise $2 billion by next Sunday. Well, that's probably stretching the rubber band a little bit too much. It's gonna break. But if I came to you and said, hey, over the next 2 years, we're hoping that $50 is gonna come in to help pay for that parking lot, well, this is what that faith would look like. It's pretty piddly. It doesn't even form. It doesn't do anything we want. And yet we go through life with faith looking like this. We're not even utilizing it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. We have to begin to stretch our rubber band just a little bit more and believe in faith that God is going to accomplish and God is going to do what he says he's going to do. But it does require faith, and it requires a stretching from us. But our eyes play a part in this as well. Do you notice this, okay? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So our eyes play a vital role, meaning we're not always gonna see God working on our behalf, but we know he's always working. We sing about that in certain songs, right? Waymaker, if you've ever heard that song, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. That's the idea of faith. That's why we sing songs like that. Because we have this understanding that when our eyes are fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, all of a sudden, the rest of our problems seem a little bit smaller. So here's the first pitfall that we can fall into. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. I kind of wrote it like this. I lose my faith when I look at my problems more than I look at God. If you start focusing on your problems more than you are focusing on the Lord, your problems get bigger and bigger and bigger, and the God of the universe who created all things tends in our eyes to get smaller and smaller. If this was my problem, and I held it up just like this, and all I did was focus on my hand, it'd be really hard. Even if I compared it to the guy back there sitting on the back row, who I know is probably around 6'3", something like that, I would say, my problem is so much bigger than that man back there. Is that the truth? No, but that's my perspective. And until I put things in proper perspective, I'm always going to keep magnifying my problems instead of magnifying the Lord. And time and time again, God has taught me this, and time again, it goes in one ear and out the other. I remember when Adrian and I were first married. We were like most married couples, poor. And then we were also young college students, so we were very, very poor, right? Young college students who were recently married, very, very poor. And we were staying at the marriage dorms up at KU. They're not even there anymore, unfortunately. But it was a great time in our lives. We say if we can survive that, we can survive anything. And I remember we hadn't been married very long. And all of a sudden, you made your budget. We made our budget. But until you really live out on your own, you just don't really realize how many unexpected expenses pop up. So I'm sitting there, and one day I get a ticket on my car saying I have to have a KU parking permit because the marriage dorms are on the KU campus. The problem was I've been going to KU for 2 years. I never bought a permit before. Why? Because I always parked on a side street. Trying to find a parking spot was impossible anyway, so I'd rather take my bike or park on a side street and walk up anyway. And so I kind of argued. I'm like, I have to buy a parking permit to park at the place that I live at? And they said, yep. Okay, so how much is a parking permit? $250. $250? I was like, come on. And then I realized, oh, we have two cars. I have a car, Adrian has a car. $500. For us at that time was like, well, we may as well send us to the moon, right? I mean, it was one of those impossible situations in that time of our life. So we just were like, we prayed, but I was like, okay, well, I we're working full and part-time. I was like, I'll work a couple extra weekends. Adrian was a nanny. She's like, well, I'll see if I can get some extra hours doing that. We knew God would provide. It wasn't going to wreck us, but at the same time, it was just disappointing, and it was taking my peace. Have your peace ever been taken away because of worry before? Man, I'm just telling you, for days, I was walking around campus with a problem right in my face, until a couple days, we finally just said, Lord, just provide. You'll take care of this, and we'll figure this out. A couple days later, I get a phone call from my mom. We're just talking, having a good conversation, and we're about to get off the phone, and then she says, oh, Micah, by the way, I forgot to tell you, you know how Grandma Kathleen passed away about 8 months ago? It was my mom's mom. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, well, the executor of the estate called me and said that Grandma left a little something for all you grandkids, and you're going to get a check by the end of the week. And I was like, well, okay, that's kind of like, that was really generous and unexpected. How much money did she leave us? She said, oh, about $500 per kid. You'll have it in a few days. Just like that. I can focus on my problem again and again and again, but until I fix my focus on Jesus, I'll keep magnifying my problem. This is what Hebrews 11, 12, verses 1 and 2 says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Those are the pitfalls. And let us run with perseverance the race that marks out for us. How do we do it? By fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Psalm 141, verse 8 says, but my eyes are fixed on you, O God, the Lord. In you I seek refuge. Do not leave my soul defenseless. So I just want to encourage you guys, if you're dealing with fear, worry, anxiety, if your fear or if your faith is waning a little bit, fix your eyes on Jesus. As soon as you do that, we sang it this morning, then the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen? Amen. Second thing, I lose my faith when I put my faith, my hope, my trust in something other than Jesus. Now, I know you're thinking, well, I thought you said that we try to live a life with as little faith as possible. And it's true. I honestly think sometimes I do that. I don't like stepping out in faith every single day. I like to know what's going on. But in some ways, we are actually creatures of faith. I'll give you some examples. Today, you walked in here, you sat down on that chair in faith that it was gonna hold you up, that you weren't gonna fall to the ground, right? Tonight, most of us are gonna grab our phones, plug them in, set an alarm and say, in faith, this is gonna wake me up in the time I'm supposed to wake up every single day, right? You're gonna leave here and you're gonna go home or go out to lunch. You're gonna see a green light. You're gonna go through an intersection in faith that the people on the other side that have red lights are not going to pass through and hit you, right? You following me? In faith, we buy KU cities and basketball tickets every year because we know this is our year. Can I get an amen? And this is our year. So this is our, so our faith, we put our faith in things all the time. I can put my faith in Bitcoin and it can go up $10,000 today. I could lose everything the next day. I could put my faith in my 401k until 2008 happens and it gets completely wiped out. You guys following me? And when we start focusing and putting our faith in anything other than Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, it's not a matter of if we lose our faith, it's only a matter of when. It's only a matter of when, because those things could never fill a God-sized hole in our life. There's a God-sized hole in each and every one of us, and we have to begin to say, well, not only when I focus my attention on the Lord, but when I actually put my faith in him and not something else will my faith actually grow. It's the only time. It's the only time. Anytime I put my faith in something other than Jesus, it's only caused me heartache. Only caused me heartache. I want to read, it's kind of a long scripture, but I want to read to you guys Psalm 91. I just could not get away from it when I was preparing this message. And if you have ever dealt with a moment or a season of fear, worry, or anxiety, I want you to turn to Psalm 91, and I just want you to read this and let these words wash over you. So today, whether you're watching online or in here, let these words just speak to you. This is what it says in verse 1. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, I have to pause and just say this one thing. Notice what it says. It says those who live in the shelter of the Most High. It does not say those who occasionally come to church. It doesn't even say those who come to church every Sunday and those who, you know, go to life groups occasionally. He says, you have to live. You have to have your entire being wrapped up in this. But why? Because faith is not optional. It's essential. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in him. He will rescue you from every trap. He will protect you from every deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly at midday. Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your right side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Someone say amen. Amen. That is the promise of God over our life. But the promise is if you live in the shelter of the Most High, if you make him your source, if you make him your strength, that's the promise we receive. So don't fix your focus on anything other than the Lord, and don't put your faith and trust in anything other than the Lord. Otherwise, it's only a matter of when it will happen, not if it will happen, and that's losing our faith. All right, so those are our pitfalls. How do we actually grow our faith? Well, I saw this acronym the other day, and I wanted to share it with you, and the word is DARE. And I'm not like, dare, don't do drugs. I don't do drugs. But at the same time, it's something a little different. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. D stands for this. We have to desire something good. And this is what I mean by that. There's a lot of things in this life we can desire, right? There's a lot of things that we can desire in this life, but who knows, not everything is good for us. Now I think back to the words of Jesus. He even says, only God is truly good. So what I'm saying here is desire God more than anything else. Desire something good. Don't just desire good worldly things. Desire God things for our life. Philippians 4:8 says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Think about them. Now, if I said, I want you to think of a desire, or what would you have to do immediately? You'd have to use your brain to think of a desire, to desire something. If I'm hungry right now, I'm going to desire the food I'm thinking about, or just the fact that I'm hungry, whatever the case may be. To desire something good, what this verse is saying here is if you desire to grow your faith, you will have to fix your focus on things that are true, on what is noble, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. And I'll just be honest, in my own life, the times where I've really struggled with my faith, and I'm not talking about like I've struggled with my faith, like do I believe in God or do I not believe in God anymore? I'm thankfully well past that season in my life, but maybe you're in here and you're in that season. That's totally fine. We're really glad you're here. This message is for you. But I'm talking about when my faith feels stretched and I start asking questions like, God, are you really gonna show up? God, are you really good? God, are you really going to provide? Even though I could come up here and give you countless examples of how God has always provided, how God has always been good, is our human nature to kind of sometimes ask that question and have our faith challenged a little bit. I just want to encourage you guys with something. Desire something good. Fix your focus on what is true and admirable, because when I think about times in my life where I've struggled with faith, 9 times out of 10, it's not that I've been desiring bad things, but I've desired things outside of God's will for me. Things that aren't bad, they're just not good. They're just not the things that God has for me. They're good ideas, but not God ideas. That was for you, Jaden. He says I say that a lot, but it's true. We have to desire something good. We have to believe in that. Think about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had unbelievable relationship with the Lord. Got to spend time with them every night in the cool of the evening, relationship with each other. Life was good. There was one thing that God said, don't do. He said, don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They only had one thing. What is the one thing they desired? The one thing they weren't supposed to have. And it plunged all humanity into sin. So desire something good in your life and watch your faith grow. Secondly, A stands for anything is possible with God. We have to believe that anything is possible with God. I'm gonna flood you with some scriptures here, but they are on the notes if you wanna write this down. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. But Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Luke 1:37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Philippians 4:13, for I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Luke 18:27, but he said to them, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Jeremiah 32:27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? And I just want to ask you guys, is there anything too hard for the Lord, the creator of the universe, something that you're going through that God could not handle? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And I understand, I know a lot of situations. I know some situations I'm going through. I know a lot of situations this church is going through right now. You guys are the church, right? And I just want to encourage you with something. Ask yourself that question. Is there anything too impossible for the Lord? Is there anything too impossible for the Lord? And like I said, I know stories. I know many of you have been praying for a lost loved one, friend, or family member. And you keep praying and praying and praying and praying that God would bring them back home in their faith with Christ, and you haven't seen a change yet, today I'm here to tell you, nothing is too impossible for the Lord. Nothing is too impossible for the Lord. Maybe your finances have seemed out of control your entire life, and you're thinking, I will never be able to pay that debt off. I'll never be able to be financially free. I'll never be able to get out of this. Can I just tell you, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Absolutely nothing. Nothing's impossible for him. Maybe you have tried to quit the addiction 1,000 times and you keep going back to the bottle, or you keep going back to the pills, or you keep going back to the screen. I'm here to tell you, nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible with the Lord. We have to believe this, or otherwise our faith will never be able to grow. We have to believe anything is possible with God. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking, it's impossible. God could never want me. I've done too much. I have too much sin in my life. I'm here to tell you today, God wants you. God loves you. Not only that, we love you. We want you here. And today can be the day of salvation. All you have to do is put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ, and he will provide that for you. Today is the day, but we have to desire something good in our life. And we have to believe anything is possible with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19 says this. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. Now, this verse about Abraham, we read about Abraham, the man, you know, the father of faith. It only makes sense if you know the story. Isaac is Abraham's son. And God promises, he promises all of Abraham's descendants, which are gonna be so many you can't even count, are gonna be brought into the world through this one man, Isaac, his son. But then later on, God tells Abraham to go and sacrifice his one and only son, Isaac. Okay, to me, I'm thinking, well, that's kind of crazy, right? This was not something that God actually wanted Abraham to do. He was testing Abraham. And what Abraham reasoned was, God already promised that every single descendant I will ever have is gonna come through Isaac. So even if somehow Isaac dies, God's gonna have to raise him up from the dead. So if I was gonna read that verse to you through the MBT translation, the Micah Barclay translation, this is what it would say. Abraham had so much faith that he'd be willing to sacrifice his son on an altar. Why? Because he believed anything is possible with the Lord. When God gives you a word, no matter how crazy, no matter how hard, and the first word was that every descendant would be counted through Isaac, that's the ultimate word. Anything other than that, we just have to put our faith that God knows what he's doing. We have to desire something good. We have to believe anything is possible, even raising the dead, spiritually dead, or even the physical dead. And number three, we have to know that resurrection brings certainty. Christ's resurrection brings certainty. What do I mean by that? 1 Peter 1:3 says this, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope." We talked about how faith and hope has this relationship. How has he done this? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The greatest day in history, the most impactful moment in history, was the day Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Here's a few things that we can know, because resurrection brings certainty. Certainty of what? Number one, that we are justified before God, Romans 4:25. That we have union with Christ, Romans 6:8. That death is defeated, Romans 6:9. And that we'll be raised as well, 1 Corinthians 15:21 through 22. That's what Christ's resurrection means for me. That's what Christ's resurrection can mean for you. If we want to grow our faith, we have to desire something good. We have to believe anything is possible, and we have to know resurrection brings certainty, that if God did it for Jesus, he will do it for us as well. And number four, E, we have to expect good is on its way. We have to expect good is on its way. Romans 8:28 says this, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to the purposes for them." Now notice, this does not say that only good things are gonna happen to us. If you've been a Christ follower long enough, you know that's just not true. You're going to encounter troubles. You're gonna encounter trials. But he promises that in all things, God doesn't cause them to happen. He doesn't want the bad things to happen, but he will turn all things for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. I know you guys don't know everything about my family, but I just want to share one quick story with you. Specifically my mom and dad, who were members here for many, many years. My dad's a pastor now at a different church, but when we moved here, he was a pastor for many years and then attended here for a while, for several years, when he was a principal at a Christian school. But what most people don't know is that when my mom and dad first got married, they always had a desire to have a lot of children. Praise God, right? I'm here. So it did not take them very long to start on that dream. Literally, when my mom got back from the honeymoon, she was already was pregnant with my sister Sarah. So it was a good honeymoon, right? Good time. They came back. So 9 months later, after starting their marriage life, they give birth to a beautiful baby girl, my oldest sister Sarah. Life could not be more perfect. I mean, come on, you're living your dream, you're married, you're having a kid, my dad's starting a career, it's all good. 2 years later, they have their second child, Kristen. Kristen's beautiful. Now they have two baby beautiful girls, and life couldn't be any better until a few months after Kristen's born, they notice something's a little off with her. And they notice she can't really track things with her eyes very well. And so they were kind of looking at it, watching it. And finally, they decide to take her to a doctor. And after running some tests, the doctor sits them down and says, "Your daughter Kristen has a rare form of cancer called retinoblastoma, which is cancer of the eyes." And at that point, there was no cure for that cancer. There was no treatment. There was only one option: faith. Faith. So my mom and dad brought Kristen back to the church, and they prayed, and the whole church anointed her with oil, and they had friends and family members, constant people dropping by their house and just praying over her all the time. They even took her to some healing services in faith, just doing everything a loving mom and dad could do to see their baby girl well. And in faith, they just kept praying and praying and praying. Kristen got a little older, but her health started to get worse and worse. And when she was 2 years old, she passed away. And I honestly don't even talk to my mom and dad about this time in their life very much, because when I have, I can tell to this day, they have moved on as much as you can. They trust God, they love God. He's pastoring again today, but they would tell you that was the hardest time in their life. Any of you who have ever lost, and I know there's loss in this room today, anyone who's ever lost a child knows the pain and the torment. As a father myself of five children, I just could not even imagine. And it rocked their faith. It absolutely rocked their faith. But they kept hope. They go to a doctor saying they want to have more children. The doctor tells them, "We don't think that's a good idea. You see, retinoblastoma is a hereditary disease," and they said there's a very good chance. Actually, it's more than likely if you have another child again, they're gonna have the same form of cancer. So our recommendation for you is to enjoy life with the beautiful baby girl you have and just move on with it. My parents weren't gonna believe that promise. They didn't deny what the doctor said, but they believed in a greater physician, amen. So they believed in faith, and a few years later they had my older brother, Noah, no problems. Then they had me, mostly no problems. Then they had my younger brother, Josh, mostly no problems. Then they had my younger sister, Mariah, no problems. And then on July 3rd, they had my youngest sister, Bethany. July 3rd was my sister Kristen's birthday as well. And Bethany is a beautiful gift from the Lord. We love her to death. And it just reminds me, every time we celebrate her birthday, she loves celebrating her birthday. She's 22 years old now. But I see the promise of God. Every time I look at my family, every time we get together, I see my mom and dad, people who stood out in faith and didn't deny a report, but believed in something greater. Did they lose? Yes, they went through some trial. They had loss in their life, but they believed in something and someone greater, and that person is Jesus Christ. And if you put your faith and hope in Him today, you will never be disappointed. Why? Because we can expect good is on its way. Amen? Amen. Can I have you stand to your feet? And as I was just praying for you guys this week, I felt like there was two groups that God wanted to minister today. And those are people who, the first group is just people who feel hopeless. That you feel like you have lost hope in a situation, and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and the answers just have not come. I want you to know today is a day God wants you to fill you with hope, because faith is a substance. It's the assurance, the absolute trust of things hoped for. If that's you today, if you're battling something and you have lost hope, would you just raise your hand to let me know who to pray for? There's nothing to be ashamed about. I've lost hope before. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for everyone with the courage to lift up their hand and say, I've lost a little hope. God, I haven't lost faith that you're real and that you're here, but maybe I've lost a little faith that you were good, or that I can really expect good things to be on their way. Father, I lift up everyone in here today and those watching online who need a new hope in their life. God, that you would be their living hope, and because of your resurrection, you could bring certainty that good is on their way for whatever situation they're facing. For a lost loved one, a new job, a new career, for a financial situation, God, an addiction, whatever it is, whatever feels impossible to them, that you would speak to them in this moment and you would provide for every single need that they have. Bless them. Keep them. May your face shine upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. The second group of people I feel like the Lord wants to minister to are those who just feel far from God. Maybe you've just lost faith in him completely. I truly want you to know today is the day of salvation. Maybe you've never put your faith in Jesus, or maybe you have, and over the years, you've just kind of, your faith has dwindled and you've pulled away from it. The Bible calls that person a prodigal son or daughter. It's just someone who goes off and lives their own life for a while, living and wanting things of this world instead of desiring the good things that God has for you. And there's a story that the Bible talks about that. And in the story, the man actually leaves his father, leaves his house, and just lives wildly. And then all of a sudden, he comes to his senses when he has absolutely nothing to offer. He goes, maybe I'll go back. Maybe I'll go back to my dad. And maybe he'll have me as a servant or a slave. But anything could be better than being broke and in the mud, no job, no house, no nothing. I'll go back and be a slave. He comes, and while he's a long way off, the father comes running to him, and he embraces him. Before the son can say anything, he embraces and hugs him and declares him that he is a son again, and he restores relationship with him. If that's you today, if you feel far from God, and maybe your faith has dwindled, maybe you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, today can be the day. And if you want to receive salvation, if you want to receive forgiveness for your sins, I just want you to raise your hand and say, I want that. I need that. More than anything, I desire that good thing in my life. Because if I don't have that, I have nothing. It's only a matter of time when I lose my faith. If you put your faith and trust and hope in anything other than the Lord. People in here, thank you. People watching online, this is for you. Today is the salvation, the day of salvation for you. If you put your faith and trust and hope in Jesus Christ. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. If you raise your hand, you can lower it. Now we're just gonna pray this prayer together, and we do this every single week because it reminds us, for people who have served God, loved God for a long time, we'll never graduate from grace. But we also wanna come alongside you guys and show you that you have just joined a family. So whether you raise your hand or not, I want you to repeat this prayer after me and just say, Father, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I could never pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. I give you my life and I give you my trust. And because of the blood of Jesus, I will never be the same. Come on, let's praise God for the people who came home to be with the Lord. Let's sing this song with some new faith today and believe good is on its way, amen.